The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Runes, the 2018 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2018. You may make additional copies of this recording for use by your school, but please do not sell any copies of the recording. Learn more about classical Christian education and ACCS at classicalchristian.org.
All right, good after 9 o'clock, I guess, not good afternoon. Nice to see each of you here. And my great wish, and I think that's true of all of us, is that I might be refreshing to you. In Proverbs 11, I believe it's 25, it says, "He who refreshes will get showered." No, he will be, and she will be refreshed. So that's what these couple of days or more is about, the sobriety of God's word this morning from Dr. MacArthur, but the hopefulness found within that context. And not to be fetish-like, I do want to refer to one portion of scripture briefly. This is about board audit, not about financial audit. You bring in usually an auditor, and they'll look over your financials. But this has to do with an area that I truly believe, as I kind of touched on in the last workshop, that's neglected. You have the precious pearl of Christian education in your bosom, in your hands, close to your heart. Not here to pump you with a sales talk, because I'm not a salesman. But you know that the movement that's growing is classical Christian education. The method that's growing is classical Christian education. Across the fruited plain, or not such a fruited plain, is the closure, at least in the Northeast, through the Association of Christian Schools International, of about 200 schools over the last 4 or 5 years. And that's an indicator of what's happening across the country. Where are the Christian schools flourishing, not just growing by 10%? In third world countries. That's where Christians are speaking up and witnessing for Christ. Just reading on the way down here on the plane, we have little or no ability to conversationalize in this society we live in because it's so digital. Oh, that doesn't mean you can't give a testimony on the internet, but to sit and talk to someone, we're pretty fearful of that. The accessibility of somebody even hearing from us is kind of hard, and rejection is a great possibility. So our sharing of the gospel has become less and less and less. And the gospel is more and more and more in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm indicted for how often my mouth doesn't open in sensible proclamation of the truth. And so it is that as we look at a classical Christian school or a Christian school, it's extremely important that you have the right people, now you've heard this, on the right seats, on the right bus, going in the right direction, because otherwise, a board kind of flutters around, flaps around, blows in the wind, and is not really sure specifically, or even close to generally specific, how to sustain a school, keep a good eye on the precious mission, and make sure it's being carried out, and capture the adventurous opportunity to move ahead. And so with that as kind of a few words from a man, the most important is these words from, I think, it's just an illustration, from Judges, verse 18, when the Danites were looking to establish a city. There was no king. There was only the board. There was no head of school. There was only the board. And it illustrates this matter of scouting out the land, assessing what you're doing at every level and strata of your Christian school, even down to the slicing, as the word of God, like a two-edged sword, like the word of the Lord does, to give us true and genuine faith in Christ. So, would like to read these words to you. Judges 18. In those days there was no king in Israel, and the Danite tribe was looking for territory to occupy. Up to that time, no territory had been captured by them, among the tribes of Israel. None of the tribes had any territory. By the way, C.S. Lewis says, we're about regaining enemy territory. Now, isn't that adventurous? It's not just a school in a town on a certain block with a certain address. You're about regaining enemy territory. You are the colonels, the sergeants. You're the admirals that God has appointed to carry forth and claim the land. Yeah, but it just seems like it's a tsunami the other way. No, no. The Danites had, there was no king. There was nothing. None of the tribes had anything. But they stepped out. Just stepped out. So the Danites sent out five brave men. And we talked about this yesterday. It could be five on your board, 12 on your board, an administrator, a lady, man. But they're brave. Brave hearts. Courageous hearts, convicted hearts, consistent hearts, competency hearts. They're going to make it. So the Danites sent out five brave men from all their clans, from Zorah and Eshtol, to scout out the land and explore it. They told them, go and explore the land. So in the next 40 minutes, my hope is to challenge you and myself. And I know this can sound like a little precious moments type of thing. We need to scan out the land of our heart. The Word of God is filled with consider, evaluate, audit. You may not see that word, but it does find itself applied there. And then your schools need to be audited. If you're accredited, then you're accredited by an association, obviously, from the classical Christian school movement. Who accredits your board? Who says that you have a board that's a quality board? Dear friend of mine from a Christian school that Harold would be aware of, Harold Naylor, in Cumberland, New Jersey. Jerry Smith used to be there. And he challenged me one day, and we haven't done it yet. He said, shouldn't we develop an accreditation for boards? How come every part of the school is accredited, but we don't accredit the boards? How are they operating? You know, what is the caliber and character of their decision making? So a board audit then, and I will have illustrations of this for you, is one of the means to begin the process of developing what would be a thoroughbred mature board. Now we won't get through everything in the next few moments. In many ways, for anyone who speaks, they have so much to say they should shut up probably. But they have more to say than what the time will allot. But there's two things happening tonight that I do want you to hear about, not because there's any commercial or, you know, any business dealings there. One is in the Rock Hill room, and I'll be there to talk just in a casual way. You ask questions, I ask questions, we share together on what makes for a good board and so forth and so on. It's about an hour time, 7 to 8. Rock Hill is around and over in that direction. And then Harold Naylor has a very fine hour. I think it's during that time as well. Why don't you share with that so folks would know. This is called commercials here, I guess. All right, well, thank you very much. Now, in your packets or packet that you should have there, one is entitled Board Considerations. Do you have that? There should be two different handouts. Two different gentlemen were kind enough to hand those out. And they have a series of questions on board. You all have that, Board Considerations, and the questions that are on that page? Okay. I want you to take a moment. Not going to give you a long time. I want you to take a moment and get through as many of those questions as you can. So if you don't have this, we have extras in the back, and you may pick it up. But I think this will be helpful as we kind of engage each other for a little bit in this session. So I will remain calm, cool, or maybe not cool, but I'll remain quiet. Okay, I know you didn't get through all those questions, but just as kind of a little lighthearted, jovial thing, if you're really into that at 10-something this morning, did you hear about the little boy here in Frisco around there? It was in the 1800s. They lived on a ranch way out here in far parts, hinder parts of Frisco. And he came into school for the first time. He came into town, rather. For the first time, he saw this bow-legged cowboy coming through the saloon in the town here in Frisco. And he raised his finger and pointed in the direction of the guy and said, "Hey, Dad, look at that bow-legged cowboy over there." His dad was really embarrassed, plus it could really have been a physical altercation. He went back, took classical Christian school materials in the 1800s, isn't it something? Went back, took all the English books, all the material, the curriculum. He studied for 6 months. The same bow-legged cowboy came through the door. They came into town. The little boy looked at him and, after all of this good education, said, "What manner of men are these that wear their pants in parentheses?" Okay, that's that. Now, you have before you then, what are the, first question, what are the given career skills and gifting shortfalls of the board membership? Would you tell me, just be gutsy enough in this room to tell me, a few of you, what they are? We don't have a lot of time, because there is another question there that has to do with sweet spots as well. But where is the shortfall? Or is there no shortfalls? And if you're a board member, don't take this to heart. Well, maybe take it to heart, but don't take it home. What are the shortfalls of board members?
Availability.
Time is of the essence. They have their own jobs, they have their own families, they have their own churches, they have their own interests, so it's hard. Availability, right? Lots to talk about, if we had time, about how do we make it more available. Yes, sir? What's that? That sounded better than...
Yeah.
Too much availability. Boy, that's good, Eric. that's better than a joke. Too much availability. They can not only get their nose under the tent, but they can get their fingers under the tent. And I've heard someone say, it's okay for the board to get their nose under the tent, but don't get your fingers under the tent, okay? What else are some of the shortfalls that you might come up against with board members? Thank you. They don't get the bigger picture. They're too close to it, absolutely, absolutely. I have sit on the board, kind of an interim head right now. My last board meeting was here in, well, no, I got another one in August, I guess. But it's so hard. They have such a narrow view, some of them, on the big picture of what really is going on behind all of these appointments or changes or whatever it might be. And I hate to fault them because they're not on ground level to really appreciate what you as administrator might do. It's hard to transmit the depth of what's going on in a board meeting. It really is. Which could lead into another topic about, how do you parcel out digestible over a period of time more and more appreciation for what the school is. And I think there are things that could be done there that are new. Someone else have their hand up? Yes. That's right. What is that, Harold, that we often say about finances? Get off. I don't know if that's what you meant, but I don't mean it that cursively. And we have a propensity to play down finances, but that is a wholesome part of our comprehensive total life. And in the other meeting, I talked about shalom. Shalom has also the value of how we handle our finances and how do we raise money. So some of our boards just shy away from that. If and never get a rich man. All rich men are wicked. But every school, almost every school that over my career, and I thank the Lord so much for little schools and larger schools, there was always at least one Abraham on the board. You need an Abraham now and again, okay? And I just have been overwhelmed to see how God then would richly provide. The last time in the last meeting, because it really beats hard on me, please take care of your faculty. Please pay them an honorable wage and benefits. That's a whole nother workshop. That's a whole nother discussion. First things first, and they're in there somewhere, wouldn't you say? And I know you care about them, and you love them, and you thank them for all their sacrifice, but how about a little more sacrifice somewhere else, okay? Any other weak spots? Yes, Todd. Mission creep. You get the wrong person on air, before you know it, that thing drifts off. Peter Greer, who Hope International, you may not have heard of him. I was thinking the other day, I live across the street for him because I think so much of him. It's not that he would say, I live across the street for him. I live across the street from Peter. He writes a book about this mission drift. If you haven't obtained it, it's a small paper book. It's entitled Mission Drift. And Peter Greer, and I think there's another author. Good book, good little book. Read through it. Very, very valuable. Another quick book that read, but very valuable is The CEO and Board President by Peter Greer. Another excellent, not heavy duty. You can read it in probably a couple hours at the most. All right, just quickly, what are the sweet spots about your board? And if you're a board member, tell me how sweet you are. How many of you are board members? Ah, sweet looking. Well, there's ladies. I guess I shouldn't say you're a sweet looking lady, but you're a nice lady. But what are the sweet spots about the board? I think there's a lot, to be honest with you. On boards that I've served on, but I'd love to hear you reverberate through this room. What are the blessed things? What are the sweet spots? What do they mean to you? Yes, thank you for raising your hand quickly. Really gets the vision. Unanimity in that process, eh? Oh, that's wonderful, yeah. Not only carries the baby, but sees the baby growing. Not only cradles the mission, but carries the mission on that. Yes. You were rubbing your hands together, so I'll take that. Yes. Right. 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 The smaller the school, the more the hands and nose and body of the board will be there, and there's nothing wrong with that. The idea of, as we grow, and some of the morphing that goes on, sometimes board members still think of themselves as when they were cutting the grass and doing some of the other things. But praise the Lord for board members who are willing to extend their hand. Yep, good. Other sweet spots? Yes. Yes. Yes, they're a great sounding board, great counselors, good wisdom, great insight. And they most of them appreciate that they can give of themselves in some way, either that and, you know, their connections with other people or talking about the school. And what a public relations program if you had every board member, you know, out there on the bus stop or down at the office saying, I love to be on the board at so-and-so. There's so much that could be said there. Right. 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 Yeah. May I encourage you, you touched on something that again is just one of those little sweet recommendations, I would say, or little footnotes, practical ways. Every now and again, have a student from the school share at the board meeting of what some special thing God has been doing for them at the school. Sprinkle it with life. Sprinkle it with real life. You can think of a lot of, I think, creative ways for that to occur. For a little child shall wake him up. For a little child will give him enthusiasm that this is really a good thing that we're doing. Now, on this particular handout, we have no longer the time to go over it. You will find then a CEO feedback instrument. That's for the head of school. I think it really is very, very helpful and could be used in a mini board audit, used as a tickler for your board to have conversation about where the school is, how the CEO is doing and things. This is just one of many instruments, but I think it's very valuable. And then the last sheet, which has a back and a front to it, personal qualities in selecting a board. There's much to be said there, but we're because of limited time, I'm giving you this to take it with you. Or if you'd like to come tonight at 7, we can chat about this or any other items. Retaining, reviving, or relieving the chief executive. As I said in the last meeting, I've never seen a year like this in my area of the country. Over 6 administrators have been let go, Christian schools. They are in head of schools at mid-year, just let go. Not for embezzlement, immorality, but some other managerial issues that sometimes we don't think about. And so this might be helpful to you. And then on the back side, that's a poor way to say it, on the back of that sheet is a board meeting evaluation. Every board meeting, you want to do a little board audit, do a little board audit about how your board meeting went. What did you talk about most of the time? Did you make any decisions? Are you moving forth the mission or the vision? You can take this as a template and develop it even further. Only take a few minutes, but it'll help reconstruct your board meetings so they're effective and not sometimes getting off into the left or the right fields that might be out there. Okay, you got that one then? All right, I hope that'll be a takeaway that'll be helpful to you. So, if you haven't already read this, a strong, vibrant board of directors is a clear indicator of a healthy organization. Those words, like, not the same as, but in God's word, when you think of strong and vibrant, resilient, lots of good exegeting of that in a positive way. Yet even the best organizations need a periodic checkup to ensure that they cannot just survive, but will really thrive in today's environment. Don't ride on, we have another 10% in our enrollment. We have another 20% in our enrollment. Oh, by the way, our budget is balanced. Everything is good. Everything is fine. The evil one figures out ways to rip at that. So make this a regular habit, performance review evaluations of both the board and the CEO. To check your board's vital signs or to put in place practices and strategies for a healthy and energized board, the best place to start is with a board self-assessment. I would say that over 50% at least of Christian schools that have Christian school boards never even consider anything that this is trying to state as the value of and the purpose for. I think they just let it be, let it be. And as I said, as the board goes, as the elders go, so goes the board. And you have to stop. The Word of God says, consider Sandy. Like my wife sat me down the other night. Have you ever had your wife sit you down? Mm-hmm. I've had my wife sit me down. She's a lovely lady, beautiful lady. She has rheumatoid arthritis. Her body is beginning to not have all the freedom. She was, and we look back at pictures, she was Miss National Guard in Iowa. When you're in a National Guard in Iowa, there aren't too many guys there. But anyway, she's still beautiful. But she said, I got to talk to you. I said, sure. Now I got to talk to you. I said, oh, okay, sure. And we talked, and she talked. I didn't talk too much. I listened, and she was right. And you say, what was it about? And I'm not telling you. So anyway, we'll move on from there. So you can be a board. It's hard to believe a ship that would be that stuck. My dad was in the Merchant Marine. He built ships, sailed on ships, and I always wanted to be in the Merchant Marine, but you can only do so much, and you got to do what God wants you to do. So maybe you're stuck, and you don't know what to do. All right, how many of you are stuck, and you don't know what to do? And you don't want to tell me. So you're, thank you very much. Thank you. At least I kind of get some empathy here. All right, golden rule of any audit. For a teacher, for an administrator, for a driver's license, don't expect that which you don't inspect. So who's inspecting your board? Who's inspecting your administrator? Simple and even biblically verified, if you would really care to go through that if we had time. All right? So boardsmanship at its best, wouldn't you like to be out? I would. I'd love to be out on a ship like that, you know? Any of you been to the Caribbean recently? Many of you would like to go to the Caribbean? Okay, an all-expense-paid trip of some sort? Yes, okay. All right, issues to be examined in an audit. Issues to be examined in an audit. Mission and vision adherence. Our brother Todd mentioned the possibility, and you'd say, never would we ever drift. Never would we get off the mission. And yet, D.L. Moody went to Phillips Academy in Massachusetts, which was a fantastic experience. Christian school. It no longer has anything to do with God. And you know the Harvards and the Princetons and the others. Mission drift can be very much a problem. By the way, and I saw Quentin taking pictures, reminded me that any of the PowerPoints, I think Tom Spencer will, you folks can get these through whatever the process is, but thanks for reminding me, Quentin. Did you take a picture of me? No, that you can't get through, Tom. I don't want it. Financial sustainability. You want to not just go from year to year, from month to month. Okay, now we enter this year with only $190,000 deficit budget for the 2018-2019 school year. Remember, last year it was $250,000. We're doing good. Board effectiveness. You will not find board members wanting to be on your board if they have the impression of, and they get the word sooner or later, that you don't know where you're going and you waste a lot of time. And if any of you are meeting from 7 o'clock to midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, something's wrong, okay? I know of boards that meet in the morning for about an hour and a half because they all have to go to work, right? So drink your coffee and let's get down to business. And this is not a bowling night out. And you just don't, some brother over here mentioned time, I think that availability. People just don't have that time. They also want to know if you're an action board. And I'm not talking about impulsive action. But you're making decisions that are moving this school forward. Who wants to be on a board that is stagnant and stale and just chomping on the same stuff all the time? There's something irregular about that. And I did this again, and I'm sorry. Administrative effectiveness. You have a instrument there that is an example. Document integrity. Sometimes what's in the student handbook is different than what's in the policy manual, and sometimes the decisions that are being made don't agree with what the policy manual states. And policy manuals are a real project, but I'll say this real quickly. If you don't have a policy manual, you take all your minutes, and somebody who's a real guru and loves just to read through minutes, how many of you love to read through minutes, like for years and years and years of minutes? And they find out where decisions and policy was made. They pull that, extract it out, and then come up with a systematic coding so that, you know, you'll find schools that have samples of this. How many of you have a policy manual? Good. All right. How many of you don't? Okay. Then you saw all these folks that raised their hand? Just say, can I have a copy? You don't want to do that. I mean, you don't want to copy them, but it wouldn't be bad to get a copy. You know, share. Help each other out. I know you do that and would want to. This last one has come to my attention as almost being the biggest issue in all of this. In my involvement in this year and in recent years, the inability for people to get along, to gel, to work together, to be humble and hardworking, without being egotistical, and agendized for their personal. It's really been an issue. Don't want to keep repeating because I know some of you folks were in here last time. It's pretty sad when a Christian school board is divided down the middle and the attack is on the president of the board. They've asked if I'll come and try to work out their relationship. I don't know I could do that in an evening. I don't know if I could do that in 6 months, but I know the Lord could change it. But you see, when you get down to the nitty-gritty, we get away from all the big, bad, ugly, you know, six, seven sins of whatever. And this one comes down to getting along and appreciating and working hard with each other. And boy, it doesn't take much for Satan to do damage. So, this is congested. But let me have your eyes cast them across that while I share with you, not just in my holding this up, what is a more thoroughbred board audit? There are 10 basic responsibilities, and so I'll go into a given Christian school, and I do it, I think Quentin, at Quentin School at Wycliffe, Board Source has a very, very sophisticated, computerized, digital, you know, all of that. I think we use that at your school. And I just happen to be, as lots of people are, a member of Board Source. So I advocate the usage of that, but it's expensive. But if you want a thoroughbred one, and this one would be your Kmart special here. Don't take that to, that's probably not a good use. Maybe even a Walmart, I'm not sure. But each of these responsibilities, every board member has a packet that they take unto themselves, and they go through, and it asks, like, if you took responsibility one, and it's amazing, this is the best one usually on the schools I've audited, the most positive, the one without the least amount of fracturing or not fracturing, but negative grading. This one has the best, the organization's mission and purpose. For instance, I will just read this to you, the survey for this first responsibility. One, all board members are familiar with the current mission statement. Not satisfied, satisfied, not sure, not applicable. All board members support the current mission statement. The current mission statement is appropriate for the organization's role in the next 2 to 4 years. The organization's programs and services reflect the mission. This usually, that one usually comes out the strongest. So this or some facsimile can be utilized as the vehicle for doing a board audit. If you'd like to look at that but not take it when we're finished, feel free to do that. And so then you have, how well does the board engage in strategic planning? Three, approve and monitor the organization's programs and services. Financial resources, effective physical oversight. To ensure sound risk management policies, do they, and this one is the second one, this is the second one of the 10 that I've found in my interactions, in which they do not give a thorough evaluation of the administrator, and they don't review themselves very well, if at all. They understand the relationship between themselves and the board and staff. Eight, enhance the organization's public image. That one usually rates low. They don't seem to be the spokespeople for the school that they should be. And this other one that's low in most of these surveys is selecting and giving proper orientation to new board members, i.e., hooking up them up at a buddy system with another board member, i.e., giving them a special time with the board president and the head of school to catch them up on the history, to share with them what are some of the immediate scenarios that's going on. So often, if you get somebody on a board, they come in, they get a brief Cliff's Note summation of what's taking place with the board, and then they sit there for 2 or 3 years trying to learn what they're supposed to do, what their responsibilities happen to be. That one's another one that rates low. And then responsibility 10, board committees and task force. Any questions with that either suggested process, which is a 10-point subjective and objective audit of a board? Okay? Shalom. Peace. Okay. All right. I also have up here a headmaster's performance appraisal, and it's mine from some years ago. And there are tons of these that I will be more than glad, not of mine, but forms that you could utilize for your board audit with reference to the CEO. And then I also have, and I don't think have time unless the clock stops here, and it's not going to, a recent board audit I did at Harrisburg Christian School, which just merged and is now quite a large Christian school in the Harrisburg, Pennsylvania area. And here is suggestions of things that they need to change. They have also an interpersonal relationship problem on the board. That revealed itself. People who want to hang on to the old, people that do not want to move, didn't even want to move into the merger. But if you wish to look at that, these would be available as well. So let's then let me also mention to you, you can take this with you. I don't think we'll have time to go over it, but you have chief executives, do's and don'ts. Do you have that? If you don't, we have a few of those in the back. Would love, there's depth to all of this, depth But 50 minutes, you just aren't able to cover the waterfront, or not even part of the waterfront. Okay. Don't know if I'll take a lot of time on this. The board must decide they want to have an audit committee, or they ask someone to come in to do the audit. There's subjective, objective measurements. The person like myself would be interviewing the chair people, the board committees, if you have board committees. They interview the administrator. You have a comprehensive, thoroughbred board evaluation. And then I speak with each board member as well. I remember at one school, I said to two board members, the question was, do you want to stay on the board? And they said, no. I said, well, this is a great opportunity to get off the board. It wasn't unkind. They said, thank you. So sometimes when somebody rides in from somewhere else, they can be a lot more open about what they would like to do. Because you want people who really want to be there. I'd rather have five people that want to be there than 50 that some of them are just hang-oners. Recommendations are provided by the consultant. That's what is in that packet that I just briefly showed to you. And then there has to be follow-through, mentoring and monitoring, and not just doing all these reports, setting them aside and saying 10 years later, didn't we do that at some time? What came out of that? Okay, it's important to disciple and walk with another. And that has nothing to do with with our time here together. So, chief executive do's and don'ts that you have, the packet that you have with you. Is there anything as you look through that that strikes you as something you'd like to ask about? Take a moment and pick up that packet. The do's of a chief executive and that which they don't wish to do or shouldn't do. Rather hard, I'm sure, to comprehend all of that at once. The second page has recruit directors who build value. That has to do with the board, and we've talked just a wee bit about that. And then this matter, and I illustrated it with dealing with non-performing directors, people who, there should be a regular self-evaluation. Not only do you have the board as a whole being evaluated, but there should be an individual self-evaluation. I found the interviews that I've done with board members to be extremely valuable because they felt like they could bear their thoughts, their soul to me, and then I could make wholesome recommendations either to them or to the board as a whole. And then, of course, you have the sheet entitled Personal Qualities in Selecting a Board, and that has to do with board evaluation. I conclude with the last sheet that I briefly want you to look at, five ways to function as a board. It's kind of a, dated one, but I found it to be helpful. And that's the one that has on it a working board, managing board, governing board, ratifying board, and a failing board. Do you have that? This one here? And if you don't, I think there's extra copies back there. So we have about 3 minutes. I want you to look at each of the columns describing what the board characteristics are of each one of these from working board to failing board. And then I'm going to ask you just kind of extemporaneously, what kind of board do you think you have? I'm sorry, my eyes. I saw your elbow. You're scratching yourself there, right? Or itching. That should be the word, itching. Yes. Right. Yes. And probably on this sheet as you, or on this graph as you look at it, do you have that there before you? You see, there's another handout that I didn't bring with me, but there's an organizational life to a company and a corporation. And if you get to the peak of where you're doing pretty well, you have to, Sidnoid curve is what they call it. Sidnoid was the guy who said, you have at that point to not let yourself begin to drift down and die off. And Kmart's had problems with that. Some car companies have had problems. I mean, they just died, okay? And Christian schools in some areas of the country are dying. They just didn't move up. So you start, yes, you start with what would be more of, how'd you describe it?
Evolving.
Yeah, evolving, right. and moving on up. But at some point in time, you'll be so successful that you'll need to look to say, we better be careful. Well, let me put it this way. Do you believe that in the Christian life that you reach in your personal walk with the Lord a plateau? Do you believe you can plateau it? No. Christendom is pretty much plateaued in our society. And our Lord moves on and wants us to move on with it. You either slide back or you move ahead. That happens, obviously, with corporations, companies, and Christian schools. And that's the reason that a meeting like this for 2 or 3 days is to inspire you, inform you, engage you in saying, in my personal life first, but in the ministry God's given to me as a board member or as administrator, oh, Lord, I hunger for righteousness, the right things to do. So let me continue to keep doing them, okay, and move on. So some of these vehicles are just that, the surveys and that, but board audits are very important. And I trust that any of this will be helpful to you. You've been very gracious to hang in there. And if you have questions tonight, either for Harold on his new schools, I think it is, right? And I'll be up at Rock Hill at 7 o'clock, okay? Not in this suit or shirt. See you later. Thank you very much.